The original custom that's brought in the Gemara is that one should wash one's hands for fruits or vegetables that he's going to eat that are wet. This stems from the custom that one should wash his hands for holy tumor or miser that he's going to eat. And really we should introduce it with a longer introduction. And the laws of Tumah and Tahara, so we know that a person could be Tameh. We had a long class 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, summarizing laws of Tumah. And a person can make food Tameh. Now food, in order to become Tameh, has to have once been made wet at some time in history, since it was ready to be picked or since it was picked. Two opinions. So that you have an apple. If the apple was washed, the apple could become Tameh. If the apple had food poured on, had any liquid of the seven liquids poured on it, and an acronym for the seven liquids are Yad Shachat Dam, and that stands for Yad is Yod Dalid Yain Dam, Shachat is Shin, Shin is Shemen, oil, Chet is Chalav, milk, Tet is Tal, Du, and Dam is Dvash or Mine. Those are the seven liquids that have two attributes. One is that these seven liquids, when they go on a food, they are machshir lekabel tumah. They make that food culpable for becoming tameh. So any fruit or vegetable, in order for it to become tameh, has to have had water gone on it, poured over it, rain come down on it when you wanted the rain to go on it. The Torah says that v'chiyutan ma'im, when water will be given, and our sages derive from that that it has to be water or one of these seven fluids that is given purposely, where a man wanted it to go on that fruit or vegetable. So, meaning if you spilled by mistake some water on a banana, now the banana isn't delicious for you, you didn't want that water to go on it, that doesn't count. It has to be water that was purposely poured, or you were happy when it came down on that fruit or vegetable or seed or any food. In order for it to become tameh, it has to have water go on it.
I'm learning actually this in Sachin. It wasn't related to the sugya, but it answers the problem of the Gemara.
Okay,
so
yafe.
It's funny.
Yeah, so it shows up in Pesachim, shows up in many places. So foods, in order for them to come to me, have to be mukhshar lekabel tumah. They have to have had liquid go upon them. But liquids, these seven liquids, the other attribute they have is that they are the only seven liquids that could become tameh. Meaning if you make orange juice, that's not going to become tameh. It's not a real liquid. We consider liquids these seven liquids. So we said wine, blood, oil, milk, dew, water, honey. Those are the seven liquids. These seven liquids could potentially also become tameh. So our sages said liquids can become tameh automatically. Nothing has to happen to the liquid in order for it to be culpable for tumah, in order for it to have the potential to become tameh. So our sages instituted in the time of Bet Hillel and Bet Shammai. These are one of the 18 zerot that Bet Shammai overcame Bet Hillel. And they instituted that liquids, any liquid that's touched by any hand that wasn't watched from becoming tameh. If you wash your hands, you make sure they're pure, so then there's nothing wrong with them. But if you have any liquid that touches either a person's hands or any sheni letuma, meaning let's say we have a person that is a baal keri person, or a person, let's take a different example, we have a dead man, that dead man is a viavota tuma. Someone goes into a tent with him, he's avatuma. He touches a fruit or a vegetable, that fruit or vegetable is rishon letuma. If that rishon letuma touches, or let's say differently, he touches a vessel, that vessel is rishon letuma. That vessel touches food, so that food could become sheni letuma. That food touches liquid, So that liquid should theoretically be shlishi letuma, right? But we say that because liquids can become tameh so easily, they instituted that that liquid jumps back a stage and becomes a rishon letuma. Liquid, when it's touched by sheni letuma, goes back a stage and becomes rishon letuma, meaning it becomes more tameh than the thing that touched it. And then they instituted that any person's hands that you didn't wash them and you didn't watch them carefully, so even though your whole body we say is pure, if you go into the Beit HaMikdash we consider you pure, but your hands, did you watch what you did with your hands? No. So maybe you just touched something that's filthy. If you're going to come and touch foods that are holy with hands that weren't washed, so you're going to make them disgusting, because hands ordinarily in those times, don't forget, they didn't have running water, so people wiped their brow, people were cleaning things, people were going to the bathroom, people had their hands filthy. So he said, if people are going to use their hands and they'll say, I'm pure, I'm holy, nothing wrong with me, so I could touch all the holy food, so they're going to end up making that holy food disgusting. So they instituted that hands, even though the whole body is pure, the hands are tameh. If you don't wash your hands, they're tameh. And they instituted netilat yadayim, they have to wash your hands to make them pure, which is a new concept. So though we treat the hands as a separate entity, the whole body is pure. You can walk into the Beit HaMikdash, you're fine, you're pure. But when you want to touch something holy, your hands are impure. What do you mean my hands are impure? Since when are my hands a separate part of my body? Either I'm pure or I'm not pure. So they instituted a new institution. We treat the hands separately. The hands themselves could become sheni letuma. And now they're not really tameh, because if we thought they were really tameh, then the whole body would be tameh. But we say, we treat the hands as though they're sheni letuma. And if those hands touch a liquid, they'll make that liquid rishon letuma. Now, why is that relevant to your question? Because let's say you have a fruit that's wet. So when you touch that fruit, your hands, we said, are intrinsically sheni letuma. They touch the liquid that's on the fruit, that liquid becomes rishon letuma, and that liquid makes the fruit or vegetable a sheni letuma. So therefore they instituted that any time you're going to eat truma or maaser, you have to wash your hands, netilat yadayim. Back to rishon. Because it's a liquid, it jumped back to rishon letuma, and that liquid made the food a sheni letuma. So therefore they instituted that before you touch wet fruits or vegetables, you have to wash your hands. Now, this is on the base level, the understanding of why we wash our hands for eating wet fruits or vegetables. And it extended also to bread. And in bread, we still maintain it today. We make the blessing on netilat yadayim. In order to make bread, you have to grind the wheat, mix it, the flour with water. It's always going to be... It is two different kinds of washing, but even the washing for bread has some aspects where it stems from this institution. Now, the washing for bread is more stringent, that everyone has to wash their hands before they eat bread, wash their hands, make a blessing, and then make a blessing on the bread. So we make a blessing on the washing of the hands and a blessing on the bread. But for wet fruits and wet vegetables, it really goes back to the time that we're eating truma and masrot in purity. So when a person is pure and he's eating the fruits and vegetables and he can't make them impure, he's not allowed to defile them, so he has to wash his hands. They instituted that his hands are sheni letuma. Even though his whole body is pure, his hands at any given time, if he wasn't watching them to make sure they didn't touch anything filthy, his hands are sheni letuma. And that means that when he'll touch a wet fruit or vegetable, so then that the water will become a rishon letuma and the fruit or vegetable will become a sheni letuma. Now, we don't have purity nowadays anymore. So that's why many are of the opinion and of the custom that they don't wash their hands when they eat wet fruits and vegetables. And that's become the accepted minhag, so much so that we say by the Seder night we wash our hands for dipping the vegetables. Some say that's to make the kids wonder, hey, you never washed your hands all year round to eat a dipped vegetable. So some say, what do you mean? You're supposed to. You don't know. Everyone's supposed to. Yeah, that's how some explain it. But some say, no. All year round, we no longer have this custom. But on Pesach night, either to make the kids wonder why we're doing something different, so we wash in order to dip the vegetable, or because on Pesach night, part of the Seder is to reenact as though we were in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, bringing a sacrifice. Some say that's the reason why we're on this higher level and we wash our hands for dipping the vegetable. So we wash again. Either way, if a person is going to wash for dipping a vegetable, for a wet vegetable, so a person should not make a blessing on that washing. The Kabbalists and the Sfardim, still some of them go by this minhag. They say that anything that's dipped in a liquid you have to wash your hands for, even if you're not going to touch it with your hands. Meaning if you're going to eat cereal, that cereal isn't milk, so you can't eat the cereal without washing your hands. Those who go with that opinion say. It's not the accepted opinion. You don't see people doing it, but there are those who have that opinion. Yeah?
I know you just explained that if you touch something with your hands, it's like disgusting. But it seems like, I remember learning from Mara Sota very harsh statements about someone doesn't wash their hands. If I remember correctly, from this morning, it says like they're removed from the world. Whoever isn't careful and kill us, or doesn't do it. So what's the deeper meaning? Why would they make such a drastic statement about someone who doesn't wash their hands? What's the deeper meaning behind it?
I suggest we learn that Gemara.
Okay.
Let's get a Gemara and read it. We're learning the Gemara in Sota Daf Dalet Amud Beis that was mentioned regarding washing one's hands for eating bread. This is regarding washing hands for bread. This isn't the same washing of the hands that was mentioned earlier. We're holding 2, 4, 6 lines from the top, right next to where it says in the left-hand column, Tilim Chafet. Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Gemara and Sota. Darash Rav Avira gave the following speech publicly. Zimnin Amala, sometimes he used to say it, Mishmeid Rabbi Ami, in the name of Rabbi Ami. Zimnin Amala, Mishmeid Rabbi Asi. And sometimes he'd quote it in the name of Rabbi Asi. Kol ha'ochel lechem velon tirat yadayim. Anyone that eats bread without washing his hands, kilu ba'al isha zona, as though he had relations with a woman for hire, a woman zona. Shneemar, as the verse states in Mishle, ki ba'al isha zona at kikal lachem. For the sake of a woman who is a zona, a person is willing to become poor till the state that he needs a loaf of bread. So he understood it that he came to explain that for eating bread without washing one's hands, it's as though one went with a woman who's a zona. He said we should darshan it reverse, even though the pasuk seems to say for a zona, a person is going to reach a loaf of bread. He said that for a loaf of bread, a person is going to be considered like he was with the zona. Amar Rava. So Rava said, hey, wait a second. Hai ba'ad isha zonat kika lachem. This pasuk says that for a zona, you'll reach a loaf of bread. Ba'ad kika lachem ad isha zonami ba'ile. It should have said, for a loaf of bread, you'll reach a state where you're like you came to a zona. That's not what the pasuk says. So Rava protests. Ela amar Rava. So Rava says, no. That's not what we're supposed to infer from the pasuk. The pasuk is coming to teach us, kol ha'bal isha zona, anyone who has relations with a woman who's a zona, l'sof mevakesh kikal lachem, ultimately he'll become so poor, he's going to be seeking a loaf of bread. He's not even going to have bread to eat. Amar Rav Zrika, Amar Rabbi Yami. Rav Zrika quoted in the name Rabbi Yami. Kol ha'mzazel ben tirat yadayim, anyone who acts with disregard to washing his hands before eating bread, on a steady basis, he disregards it. Ne'ekal min ha'olam, he gets uprooted from the world. Why? Because the verse states in Kohelet, uforetz geder yishchenu nachash. Anyone who breaches a fence will get bitten by a snake. You have a fence that's there to protect everyone. A guy comes along, and he's a wise guy. He says, we don't need this fence. I'll make a breach in the fence. So King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, okay, he's the one that breached the fence. He's the one that's going to get bitten by a snake. So our sages said, this teaches us that a person who breaches the fences that our sages set up for us, meaning he disregards what our sages instituted, he gets bitten by a snake. And gets bitten by a snake can be understood literally or metaphorically. So here we're understanding it metaphorically. We're saying whoever breaches the fence that our sages instituted to wash one's hands before eating bread, he says, what do you need it for? My hands are clean. I cleaned them an hour ago. They're fine. So we say, what do you mean clean them an hour ago? You wiped your eyebrows, right? You scratched your head. You tied your shoes. You don't know what you did if you weren't focused on them every second. So chances are your hands are busy. They do all kinds of things. So your hands aren't clean enough to eat bread. You have to wash your hands again. So he disregards that. So he gets uprooted from the world because a person who who disregards our sages' institutions, he gets uprooted from the world. That was your question, right? Why does he get uprooted from the world? So Rashi explains what we just said. So Rava says, whoever, so Rav Zrika quotes the name of Rav Ami, Kol ha-mezalzel, whoever purposefully disregards bentilat yadayim, washing one's hands before eating bread, ne'ekal min ha'olam, gets uprooted from the world. Now we'll just read a little bit further, so we'll learn another halacha about netilas yadayim, if we're discussing this already. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav, Rav Chiya Barashi quoted in the name of Rav. Rav is the first generation of Amoraim. Rav learned from Rebbe, the last generation of Tanoim. Maim Rishonim, the waters that are first, that precede the meal. Tzarich Sheyagbia Yadav Lemala. Person has to wash his hands, and after he washes his hands, he should tilt his fingers upwards. And the Gemara is going to explain why. Maim Achonim Tzarich Sheyashpil Yadav Lemata. And after the meal, so you wash your hands to clean off the dirt that's on your hands after the meal, or the salt that they had in those times could make a person blind if he touches his eyes when they're dirty with that salt. So they instituted people should wash their hands after the meals as well. So then a person needs to shiyashpil yadav lemata, to put down his fingers, angle them downwards. Tanya nami achi, we have a braisa that says the same thing. Anotel yadav, one who washes his hands before the meal, tzarich shiyagbia yadav lemala, he has to raise his fingers upward. Shema yitzeh amayim chutz leper, v'yachzeru v'itamu, etc. So the reasoning behind this, I don't think we should go into now. It's not so difficult, but it'll take us 10-15 minutes and a lot of introductions. So we'll skip it for now. This isn't Gemara class. If you guys want, we could do it. You guys want to go into it? No? Okay.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
How many people want to go into the reasoning?
No, I don't.
You're outvoted. Okay. It's fine. But this is Brun Shochan Aruch Hosu. When one washes his hands, ideally he should lift his fingers after washing his hands for the meal. That's why you see people doing that.
It's a minhag. Is it a minhag that mayim achronim now?
Mayim achronim, some have the custom nowadays, some don't. It depends on a person's custom.
Is it on the same status as washing your hands for fruit?
No. Washing your hands for fruit, we said a lot of people don't have that custom. Washing your hands for fruit... You don't have to, but washing your hands for bread, every person has to. That's halacha. Everyone has to wash their hands before eating bread and make the blessing on the washing. Washing your hands for fruit depends on the custom. Yeah? Okay.